We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, March 19, 2025, to order at 8:48 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming. It looks like the weather's holding off for a little bit yet. Hopefully, weatherman's wrong, and it's just another beautiful day in Nebraska.
With wind.
Could happen. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Lytle, and Dorn. Up first, approve or disapprove the agenda as presented.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Oops. We'll approve that. Motion by Dorn, second by Adams to approve the agenda as presented. Please vote. Six in favor. Consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held March 5th, 2025. Approve all claims through March 19, 2025, in the amount of $682,521.94. Accept claim number 25030195 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $371.91. And claim number 25030203 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc., in the amount of $25,485.09 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1326 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be replacing a fiber line along Chestnut Road, approximately 1,300 feet west of Southwest 114th Road. Windstream will bore a 2-inch diameter line 96 inches deep in the South Greater Ditch. Windstream will also be placing two new BDO pedestals at each end of the splice. This is for a Gage County project. Numbered C341240, located north of Section 20, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, Grant Township. Approve appointing Ashley Mason to a term on the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board. The new term would have begun January 2025. Approve signing letter of support to Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging for funding. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items you would like to pull off and discuss.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Adams. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. On to the regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 25030195 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $371.91.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Claybaugh. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 25030203 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $25,485.09. This would bring the total amount of claims paid this period to $708,378.94. This is a company I work for. I would ask for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Thanks, guys.
Y'all make them worry just a little bit.
A couple of employees worried about
moved by Adams. Second by Claybaugh. Any discussion? Please vote. Five in favor with team and abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for county board business. I can say welcome all of you. Hopefully you have safe travels in, or had safe travels in, and have the same going back out. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here. He can take over.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Morning. We did have a power outage a couple weeks ago. The generators kicked on both here and at the detention center, so it was a good chance to just check everything out and everything worked as it should with the generators going. Extension office, we did have a issue when they installed fiber out there. They did hit the sewer line, so we're going to pursue to have them pay for the damages. Lamo Plumbing did find it and sent me a picture of it. And it's amazing. It's like a 1 in 100 chance, and did hit it. So
that was Unite hit it with the bore.
That was Unite, yeah. And sewer line, that is more of a private line, I'm sure, but they never did ask me to locate that or anything. And it was actually way out in this ditch on the south side of Scott Street. And it was the fiber running east and west, where the sewer line runs north and south. So it did hit. And Todd had said that they have had to do quite a few repairs on things that, with all the fiber going in, it's pretty common, and they've been good about paying for it. So, and they did get the door trim, baseboard done. They're going to come tomorrow and Friday and finish up the floors. And so that will at least be all the dust and everything will be done after that point. So the other day when we had that heavy wind, we lost a veteran's flag pole, so we're going to replace that. And that's about it.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions for Mr. Jones? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Equalization, we had a brief update from Patty. Our reassessment is down into the south. They'll have to send things out here soon, but even after those go out, they will be reassessing still and reevaluating what they've come up with so far. But they are making progress. Finance and insurance. Nothing really to state on finance and insurance. Is there anything you'd like to read?
No, I'm good.
Ms. Haxby's busy on the computer.
Yep. She's good too.
She's okay.
I'm working on the agenda. Where's the? Hand me the.
Too late. Human resources, employee relations, nothing really to state. We are still being sued by the CIR, but we're just in a holding pattern that's going to take 10 to 12 months more than likely to get through the Court of Industrial Relations, so that won't be anything quick. Gary and Mr. Lytle and I were talking. The bad thing is that pushes everything back, so we're already out of a contract. We'll be a couple contracts down the road before we know where we are on our previous contract, which is unfortunate for our employees, the members of the FOP, which are still county employees. So it's unfortunate for them. It's unfortunate for us for budgeting purposes, but that is the route they decided to go. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Josh, Lisa, you got anything? I know the three task force, we can talk about that in 2 weeks. So.
Good morning. So as most know, you know, with the weather impacts and so forth that we've had the last couple weeks, we did have some damage in the county as far as some outbuildings from last week's occurrences. Obviously, today is we're just waiting for it to happen. I guess in most cases, we may be luckier here. We are preparing for severe weather awareness week. Next week, we have several that are doing in-house exercises, if you will. That would include the courthouse, if possible. We have some employee training that we would like to do with Sergeant Davidson. So next Wednesday, we are planning on that as well at 4 o'clock. So typically, the courthouse is open for that last hour, closed for that last hour then. So that's all I have to report. So, and you're right. The 3 and 33, if we could wait till next time. Taylor McHenry is a valuable resource, you know, and has done those three deployments and can answer those questions well.
Sure. Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yep.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Dorn.
Thank you.
talked about the trees in the right-of-way and checking on bridges. On a discussion on a rotary shredder. And the one for the box culvert is waiting on Windstream. That's about it.
So
been busy.
I had lunch in DeWitt yesterday, and somebody asked about that, why this was dug up, but no one was working on it for four weeks or so, and I assumed that was the one. So thank you for filling us in on that. That was just waiting for Windstream to move a fiber line, and then they'll move forward on that box culvert. East of DeWitt, there's a box culvert going in there also, or a new tube to replace that bridge. Is that correct?
East of DeWitt, like how far is
it? We were close to going.
Yeah.
Every day.
So there is two box culverts at north of 21 Grant, which is between Southwest 114th and Southwest 100th on Chestnut. They're part of the Claytonia DeWitt project. There's two of them that are 700 feet apart. Then there is another one that is just west, 1,300 feet from Southwest 114th, and that one is the single barrel box, but it's 118 feet long. So that was the one we discussed at a committee meeting, that we'll be redoing that detour route going south over to the Bus River Bridge, then back up when that box gets started.
Thank you, Mr. Cunningham. Ms. Axby.
I reached out. I sent you the message that I got back from the Windstream.
Yep, and it concurs with what they had sent to me on Friday, that Windstream is scheduled to splice that new line in on Sunday night sometime. So hopefully beginning of next week, Vogescapes can get their contractor in there, finish up excavations, and get going on this. So.
Anything else for Mr. Conkey? Road and Bridge. Thank you, sir. Do you have anything else, Gary?
No.
Okay.
I'll catch you afterwards.
Up next, Rachel Krackemeyer, Engage Executive Director, to present the Engage Quarterly Report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Rachel. Thank you.
The one that gets all the back floor when
you're
there.
Sure. We already have one. I gave her
yes,
one.
You got enough?
Thanks.
You got enough?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Awesome.
My gold.
No. I don't
hey,
know.
Hey, do you guys have any yours?
I just.
So
okay, knows. Good morning. We're going to relearn what I put in this report, because you can see it was dated January 24th. We've been extremely busy since then, working on quite a few different projects, but one thing I think is probably the most important to note with projects that we are actively working on, we have saw a need to expand the amount of industrial property that we have to market here in the county. So the Engage Board of Directors approved a proposal with Olson to do a new industrial site study and look at different potential industrial areas throughout the county. So we're going to focus on similar industries to what we do now, advanced manufacturing, food processing, light industrial, including warehouse and distribution type projects. So the goal is to actually identify, we're hoping up to 8 sites throughout the county, and we're going to focus in different pockets that are prime for development. And then the board will, from that point, hopefully narrow down to 3 or 4 sites that we will prioritize and move through some site development activities from there. Beyond that, we have been continuing to develop new workforce talent pipelines directly with employers throughout the county. We've established one with a local manufacturer, specifically with Tri-County Public Schools, and other school districts are hearing about these opportunities that are being created, and they're wanting to tap into those as well. So that's exciting to see that school districts are wanting to create more of these opportunities to get their students
into employers sooner to get them that necessary experience before they continue their education. We have been actively advertising our industrial sites both here in the city of Beatrice as well as the Hickory Industrial Site, both in national and international publications, and we are getting traction on those. We have gotten calls from site selection firms throughout the country asking for more specific details on those parcels of land for potential projects that they have. So that's been exciting to see what we can drum up in the realm of potential projects. We have also been working with our partner called LPED, Lincoln Partnership for Economic Development. It's a group of economic development organizations in southeast Nebraska and includes Lincoln and Lancaster County to use and work with Global Site Location Industries. So again, another site selection firm to increase the amount of projects that we can maybe get our hands on and promote our sites, our communities, and our counties too. And then finally, we will execute an application for an economic development certified community for the city of Beatrice. That is due by the end of the month. So the city and my staff have been actively working and spending a lot of hours on getting that done. But that is a certification that not many communities in the state of Nebraska have, 37 to be exact. So to get that certification renewed for 5 years is going to be a big deal. So we're hopeful to execute that by the end of the month. So with that, I'll take any questions.
So inquiries have been picking up then from...
I'm sorry, say that again.
Inquiries have been picking up quite a bit.
Yes.
Can you mention anything on the project?
I don't want to yet. Okay. I don't want to yet.
I will say to the board, there's a lot of stuff we can't say publicly yet, but each time Rachel comes, we'll say, hey, things are going on, things are moving forward. There are actually some real teeth in some agreements now. So there will be news coming out that's really good news in the near future.
Yep.
And it'll be nice additions where we actually see business locating. I mean, that's always the exciting part when we see a nice expansion. That's still our number one growth, is expanding our local business. Seems like it takes a hammer to beat it into people's heads, but local expansion is still where all your growth is. But it's great to see an outside business come in, and there should be something soon. I don't know what that soon is, but I think everybody will be really happy to see a new member to our county.
Yep, and the hard part is, right, we play the long game here. A lot of what I talk to my board about in our regular monthly meetings is, you know, Eric's saying soon right now. We were hoping that... this one project that I'm spending a lot of my time on would have been finalized by the end of the year, and we're mid-March right now, and things still aren't fully inked yet. So it just takes time, and we'll hopefully get that across the finish line. The other thing I do want to mention is there is a lot of movement and activity in the even more rural parts of Gage County. So we're actively working right now with the Village of Cortland, the City of Wymore, with active developers in those areas to execute projects ranging from commercial development to even massive residential development. So we're hoping, working to put in place the necessary pieces to secure financing packages and those types of things to get those projects off the ground. So not only are we seeing growth and development happening right here in Beatrice, but we're working on some really incredible projects in the northern and southern parts of the county that are going to be beneficial for the entire county. So we're excited to see what those, if and when those come to fruition, what those do for the county.
I'm going to drop this in here during your report, I think. I sit as chairman on SEN still. I think Myron put me on SEN in 2012 or 2013. And I've been the chairman there for the last 7 or so years. I was in D.C. last week. I don't remember the word we used for lobbying, because we aren't lobbyists. We were encouraging.
Advocacy.
Advocacy. We were advocates.
Oh. We don't lobby. We advocate.
We were advocating last week with our whole delegation, so our two senators, three congressmen. We thank them for passing EDA. It's one of the few pieces of legislation that's actually been passed. So the EDA funding has gone through. SEND will be investing in Beatrice again. They're looking to build two duplexes. Housing's incredibly important. Those will be 2 3-bedroom duplexes. Fairbury's also eligible for those, but they will be at a capped rent. They'll be nice. I've been working with Toby to try to figure out something where we could potentially build them on the new school sites or the new residential areas where the schools are, to try to kickstart those. But there's a lot of economic activity that comes through SEND on a regular basis. They also work with Rachel, housing, child care, employee retention. I mean, there's so many pieces that go into the economic development.
Small business support. So organizations like SEND, I'm constantly making referrals. When a small business approaches me looking at how they're going to bridge some finance packaging issues, making all of the numbers work on the back end of projects. I just talked to a developer yesterday. I got a gap of this amount. What are my options? What are my resources? SEND and Center for Rural Affairs have small business assistance loans that can go up to $200,000 or $250,000, which is an incredible amount of money when you think about some of these projects. So that's an incredible resource that they have to offer. Not everybody can access it. You have to go through traditional financing channels first, but that's something I work and partner with SEND and Center for Rural Affairs on, kind of mitigating that, because they don't want people to interest rate shop, because those programs can actually be 75% of prime, which is huge. Everybody would want that. I, as a small business owner, want that, but cannot access it, unfortunately. So those are incredible. So having Eric on that board, and Tobias serves on a board as well, but having those resources available for our small businesses is crucial.
Keep that in mind if the home loans, if you have somebody that's looking to buy a first home, something like that, like Rachel said, gap financing, any of those things. If you hear of people looking or wanting to expand, talk to Rachel. She knows where the resources are. There are just so many. There's no way to know as a regular person, if you're not in that business, where to go.
Yep. And I have all of the printed pamphlets, brochures, postcards, all of that stuff in my office. So anybody can walk in. You guys can walk in, grab a copy, and you'll have direct contact information as well. Yeah.
You've worked really hard on the child care and the housing here the last several years. Are we making a dent?
We are. What I'm seeing now in regard, I mean, housing is off the charts. What we're going to see being developed in the county over the next couple of years is incredible, to the point where, I forget the number exactly, but it was 320 to 370-ish homes, units that were needed off of the existing housing study that Engage has. And it is on the docket to, towards the end of 25, early 26, renew that housing study, so we can see kind of where we're at and where our gaps are and what we need to fill in regards to that. With child care, we've established the nonprofit, the Gage County Child Care Collaborative, which actually has right now 5, I believe, providers as board members. So I think that's incredible, because people are stepping up and saying, we see problems, we deal with these problems on a daily basis, we want to have the opportunity to be part of the solution, versus me, who is an outside person, orchestrating what I think might be suitable and help that industry sustain long term. I think it's important to have those key people in there making those decisions, because it affects them. We are seeing that there are vacancies and spots. There's open spots in various in-home providers as well as center-based programs, which to the public, that's a good thing. We didn't create too many. We are giving the public options, which is what we want. They can pick and choose the program that they feel is best for their kids, but have a place for them to go, versus having to pick this only this spot because that's the only spot available in the city or in the county type of thing. So we're going to continue to work at it because we know that there's upcoming retirements and those types of things. So that number is going to continue to do this. But we want to ensure that there is available spots that are high quality care for our young children. So we'll continue to actively work on that, but that initiative or priority is shifting over to that independent nonprofit. So Engage will start to take more of a backseat role to childcare. I'll act as more of a outside consultant expert on the business perspective. So.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Rex and I were talking about what Pawnee City is doing, and it was like all the major reproduce all the major newspapers in Nebraska. Even saw it on a Tucson, Arizona paper. That's getting a lot of press, and which is good for everybody in Nebraska. So,
yep.
I hope that Gage County can do more and more
yep.
type of stuff and get it out.
And exactly what you're talking about is there's local people, local investors that are spearheading that initiative. So there is one person for sure. I know that they're actively working to add investors that are going to help help those economic development efforts in Pawnee City too. They did establish an economic development organization, and I have been working directly with them. With their new economic developer, we've been working to get him connected and access to the resources that economic developers need to be able to do our jobs to the best of our ability. So we definitely partner and work together because what's good for Gage County is good for Southeast Nebraska. So it's good for Pawnee City. What's good for them is good for us, too. So,
were you in on the discussions? I heard somebody say they were talking about changing 77 to a two-lane with a suicide lane. Did you talk about that at all?
Well, I can say one statement. I am aware of the conversations. There are studies that have been done that talk about it's the safe streets for all, right? It's about mitigating accidents. It's those types of things, making sure pedestrian traffic is safe, maneuvering up and down that highway. And it's a conversation about what is best.
The road rage would cause more accidents than anything else. I remember when they did that on the west side. And it's a nightmare over there now. They were just tarring the streets on the north, and just having it down to one lane for a little area north of town, traffic was backed up over half a mile. And it's like, surely they wouldn't even consider that.
I don't know. I mean, if you really want to know more about it, the biggest thing I can tell you to do is don't listen to what you hear or what you see on social media. Request the studies. Get the packet from the city council meeting. Read through it yourself and make a formulated decision.
I know. Paper they're printed on.
I get it. But ultimately, it's what's best for the community and the citizens here to make sure that everybody is safe and can access what they need. So,
maybe was that instigated by the state, though?
I would strongly suggest if you are in conversations with them, have them close a couple lanes and see how that works before they go in like on the west side. That's been a disaster since day one.
Yeah.
Surely that won't happen. I'm sure that would not encourage economic growth to take a non-traffic issue and make it into a traffic issue.
Yeah, usually I don't get asked for my opinion in that regard, but
we've kind of hijacked your discussion here, but you seriously heard serious conversation about taking this four lane down to two lanes with a suicide lane?
Someone asked me that, and I said that would be insane. No one would ever do that.
It was voted.
Oh my God!
Somebody called there mad, and I said, I'm sure I have faith in our city. No one would consider doing something like that.
Yeah, I read that in the paper, and that's going to be a...
Guess I got a couple city council members to call.
Well, I mean, the good thing is, if you guys are looking for help, they'll probably be looking for jobs. Anything else for Rachel?
What a fun day.
If not, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks.
Sorry.
No. He's going to make a motion.
Oh. Okay. Thanks, Rachel.
I'll answer questions from here if I need to.
I move to place the Engage quarterly report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn to place the quarterly report on file. Any discussion?
Thanks, Rachel.
Please vote.
It was
6 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, Dakota Hurley, tourism coordinator, present the visitor improvement grant for one property at a time for Blue Springs Tourism Enhancement Project in the amount of $7,000. Good morning.
They're for sale. Thank you. How's workouts going?
Oh, great. Good.
Why would it cost the same $6 million?
I want those notes.
Yeah,
I'll start.
It would cost zero.
I quit doing.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
They're all taking a break.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I have Shirley Martin here with One Property at a Time in Blue Springs. I gave you a copy of their full grant application. I do want to point out the back has some photos that kind of show exactly what they're looking to do for their signs and such. So they are, one, I think this project started looking at the influx of visitors that they'll have during Cattleman's Ball. But obviously, knowing that it'll be more important to make a lasting impact with this project. So they're kind of looking to roll out the red carpet, as I would say, adding some nice lighting, some welcome signs to Blue Springs in general. And then they also have, I don't know, are you calling them banners or flags?
Banners
and flags that they're looking to install along their main street. Each of them have kind of different areas in the community of Blue Springs that are worth visiting and checking out. There is an example that Shirley has, but they have a whole list of things that they're looking to point people to as they're in town, kind of to beautify their city, roll out the red carpet, like I said, and they're hoping to have that in place by the time that Cattleman's Ball is here, but then also it's an evergreen project, so it's not something that they would be taking down afterwards. It would be staying up in their community. So they're requesting $7,000 of their total project, which is $14,000. And this is probably the most extensive grant application I have ever received in my 2 years of this job. So they definitely did their research on tourism and visitors and kind of wanted to make sure that they were very thorough in their project. So if anybody has questions, I'll let Shirley answer those because she, of course, knows the project better than I do.
Good morning. We went with the historical route, so we will be having the street flags, banners on the streets, and this is one example of what they'll look like. They'll be, we are going with the historical Johnson's Cabin. We're going with the Chief Standing Bear Trail. We're going with, I have the Methodist Church because it was started back in 1857, I believe. We have this Blue Springs Cemetery, which we are kind of working on putting on the Register of Historical Places.
Which is the oldest recorded cemetery.
It is the oldest recorded, right. And so, anyhow, so while we have people coming through Blue Springs, One Property has been doing a heck of a job getting rid of houses and trying to make the places look nice and getting some attractive new houses in. So we just wanted to capitalize that just because you're going through it today doesn't mean you can't come back and see when we have the cabins open, when we have our wonderful Memorial Day services. There's other things to offer in Blue Springs instead of just driving through.
I'll throw this out for Rex because I always love it when...
Welcome to the Springs.
Absolutely.
Shirley, you and Mary did a phenomenal job. When the county talks as a grant writer, here is an example of what it should be. I mean, I'm the same way as Dakota. I've seen a lot of them, and I've never seen one this in-depth. But you did phenomenal. Blue Springs has one opportunity to impress 4,000 to 9,000 people that are going to come visit our community. So those people are not probably going to leave much money behind in our community, but you don't know with that influential body that is coming through that they may make an impression that they want to invest, they want an opportunity to maybe do something in the future. The grant also has blue lights that we're going to put over the Blue River Bridge to highlight Blue Springs, Nebraska, the signs that Shirley's talking about. It's not a monetary money left behind. It's hopefully the future that those people see. They can forget. I've been on these boards and in the county a long time. I've heard every negative connotation there can be towards the South. I've heard them in this meeting. I've heard them in economic development meeting. Our communities are changing. It's time. It's embraced and appreciated for what those people have worked to change. So they're reaching out, and I'm glad they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just to give credit where credit is due, Mary Ells is fantastic at this. It's her professional
job. Any questions? Any comments? Of course, they have lots of good support from great organizations and stuff in here. I will say one thing. They have it as Appendix D. They basically went through almost, like, Blue Springs isn't very big, but this is their list of things you can do or something where you can stay in Blue Springs. They were very thorough in recognizing that, one, this is a tourism grant, and recognizing that while the visitors for Cattlemen's Ball might not be staying there, they know that they can make an impact. Something as tourism coordinator that I've heard since I've been in this position is I have no control over our attractions, no control over, you know, everybody's thing that they're doing. My job has been to make sure that when people come to visit, they know about those things. And I feel like that's exactly what this project is doing, is making sure that when Blue Springs has somebody coming through, that they know about the things that Blue Springs does have.
And we're including the community of Wymore because they have... We've done a lot of things together. We've had to work together because we are together, basically. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the work you put in down there. I'd ask for a motion to... Let's see here. We don't have that on to approve.
Whoops.
I'm going to ask for a motion anyway to approve... the visitor improvement grant for one property at a time for Blue Springs Tourism Enhancement Project for $7,000.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on that? Like I say, thank you very much for trying to highlight what we do have in the county. There's a lot there. A lot of us take it for granted just because it's here all the time. We might as well showcase it to those that come from the outside and hopefully appreciate it. Thank you for your time also.
Thanks, guys.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. Five in favor with Adams
choosing
abstaining, being
abstain
a member of...
because I'm chairman of one property at a time.
Motion carries. Up next, Monty Merkel declaring March 21st, 25 as World Down Syndrome Day. Good morning, Mr. Merkel.
Good morning. And thanks for having me here. Monty Merkel, I live at 7001 West Aspen Road, Claytonia, Nebraska. And so I want to thank the chairman and all the supervisors for allowing me to come and talk again. I guess it's been a whole year since I was here, and you've changed the looks of the place already. I didn't know that was happening, but it's looking nice. Special thanks to Supervisor Haxby for the call this week to ask if I could come and speak to you guys again and share some stuff about Down syndrome. You maybe noticed Governor Pillen signed a proclamation yesterday morning recognizing the 21st as World Down Syndrome Day. So sometimes we do a proclamation here. Sometimes I just come up during the public forum. Sometimes I like to be on the agenda just to mix things up a little bit. Plus, if I'm on the agenda, I get a little more than 3 minutes. But anyway, I wrote some notes down here I'm just going to share with you. The theme this year, and it's brought by the Down Syndrome International Association, or organization, excuse me, the theme is Improve Our Support Systems. So on Friday, I'll get get back to some more about the theme here in a little bit. But on Friday, I'm asking everyone to take 21 seconds and spend it thinking about Down syndrome. Think about what you already know about Down syndrome. Think about the person or the people that you may know that have Down syndrome. Maybe think about questions you have about Down syndrome, or maybe just think about what Down syndrome or how Down syndrome might affect you in the future. People with Down syndrome around the world are still treated differently and oftentimes treated very poorly. Many are denied a quality education and good health care. All across the globe, organizations and advocates, which we're not lobbyists, we're advocates. We had a little explanation of the difference of that earlier. Are calling on their governments to improve our support systems, and there's the theme for this year. So paying attention to the policies that affect people with Down syndrome and the people who care for them is one of the ways that government agencies can show their support. Support comes in many different ways. It can be something simple like hanging some of the posters that we put out, bringing attention to Down syndrome. It could be wearing some mismatched crazy-looking socks on the 21st, which I think I've been here before when I had them on, and I'll be wearing them Friday again. I hope everybody else does too. Adding a message to a marquee, setting our lights to the blue and yellow colors that represent Down syndrome, listening when somebody is talking about Down syndrome, which all of you are graciously doing this morning, and then advocating for people with Down syndrome. I did mention the proclamation that Governor Pillen signed yesterday morning. So that's another way that we can show support. Now, I think here in Southeast Nebraska and even in the U.S. as a whole, that we're doing a better job than probably much of the rest of the world. But having said that, there's still room for improvement. I believe with a better understanding of Down syndrome, that improvements will naturally happen. Now, a lot of times we think Down syndrome is rare, and I think I've shared in the past that on average, one in 750 births will be somebody with Down syndrome. So it's somewhat rare, but I got to share a little story. Yesterday was Nebraska Ag Day, and so Governor Pillen and the director of Nebraska Department of Agriculture and a couple of producers went to Rotella's Bakery in Omaha and did a little tour there. I'm getting off subject of Down syndrome, but I'll circle it back here. So there's a picture here, and I don't expect everybody to be able to see that. There's six of us in this picture. So there's Governor Pillen, myself, director of the Wheat Board, the director of Nebraska Department of Agriculture, and then two gentlemen, the CEO, and then his son, Mr. Rotella. Out of those six people, four of us have somebody closely related that have Down syndrome. So that wasn't planned. Governor and I talked about that yesterday. So it seems rare, but yet there was a random time that six people in one picture and four of us have somebody, and that's either a child or a grandchild. So that's pretty closely related. Got to skip through my notes here. So folks with Down syndrome have a very high risk of developing Alzheimer's. That's the thing I want to share with you folks today. From what I've read, it can be as high as 90% of the folks with Down syndrome will eventually have Alzheimer's. So with that correlation being that high, and a lot of that starts to show up somewhere in their early 40s, so it's fairly early as well. Granted, their lifespan is somewhat shorter than the average, but that's expanding to what used to be maybe 30 is, I think we're into the 60s now for the average lifespan. But because it's so common to have Alzheimer's with folks with Down syndrome, there's a lot of studies being done that are trying to find out some of the causes. So there's research being done on the brains of individuals with Down syndrome to see if we can figure out what's triggering it, what's causing it, and maybe even find some treatments, and who knows, maybe possibly a cure. So I guess I think it's interesting, and I'm really proud of it, actually, that we have a sector of our population that used to be just set aside and maybe kept in the dark that now may have a huge impact on stuff that a disease that affects all of the population. So, you know, whether that's going to happen, time will tell, but there's a good chance that it will involve somebody with Down syndrome once we discover that. Last year, I think I had my daughter with me. With independence comes a busier schedule. So typically she works on this morning. Now, they happen to be closed because of the weather. It's going to change, and I didn't really want to risk last night deciding to pick her up and bring her. It would have worked. I listened to the weatherman, and sometimes that happens. But those folks, they're getting more independent. They're having jobs. The more we see people that are in public jobs, I know there's in Missouri, there's a young man's got a jam and syrup, fruit jam and fruit syrup business that's thriving just in a small town. There's a, there's a coffee shop in Lincoln that's managed by a group of individuals with Down syndrome. We've got a tavern out in western Nebraska. It's called 321. The 321 is, again, ties back to the Down syndrome. But there's businesses and there's people out there working, and the more we see that, the more it just becomes part of the regular population, and again goes back to that understanding. So with that, I think I've used enough of your time. I guess I should repeat, I think I've said it in the past, I don't come in, I'm not asking for money, don't ask for anything that way, but I do want to ask for just the time to stop and think about it. I had intended to just stall for 21 seconds so everybody could find out what that's like, but I was afraid by about second five or six it was going to start to get awkward. So, but if you would, just take 21 seconds on Friday and think about that. So any questions from anybody? If not,
for coming in.
Thanks again for the call. I appreciate it.
Monty, do you know or Dave, in the past we've lit the courthouse blue. We had an issue with lenses, I think.
We did. We tried it, and I don't know how we're already to the third week of March again, because I always think the 1st of April I'm going to get that done before next year, and then apparently it's going to be next year. I guess if I say it publicly at a public meeting, now I'm committed.
So we'll see those lenses next year, I'm sure.
We're going to sure try, yeah. The challenge is they got to be tempered glass, and so it's hard to find somebody to make them reasonable. Again, I'm not asking for money, so I mean, we'll find a way to provide the lenses. But, David has done that in the past where he lit it up in blue, yellow, or did you have, yeah, you had blue. Blue. Blue is a tough color because of the material that, the limestone and stuff, it kind of fades. And if you take a picture, the blue really shows up nice. But, I'm sure it'll put blue out there for Friday.
And, yeah, we do have the one blue.
The
lens.
One blue, yeah. I usually put it on the front side.
Yes.
Yeah. So it'd be nice to get some blue and yellow, but I haven't quite got that far. I'm still busy doing posters and emails for marquees. And, yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in, Monty.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Up next, approve or disapprove a request for consultant proposals for the purpose of engaging in the design, siting, and construction administrative services for a proposed multi-custody jail due 4/16/25 at 9:15 a.m. This would be another step moving forward in trying to ascertain if it is feasible to build, operate, and own a new jail in Gage County without some type of proposal and agreement. It's tough to ever move forward any further forward than where we are right now.
What this RFP is asking for is for a consultant that's going to help figure out what the design would be for the size based on our needs assessment, as well as looking at potential sites and then helping us do a cost analysis to see how this looks for our county.
And just for the board's information, this would be non-binding at this time. We'll hopefully get a bunch of proposals in, be able to, the jail committee will be able to evaluate those, see if any of them fit Gage County, and keep plugging away, Mr. Lytle.
This is an important step for us moving forward with the jail committee. Hopefully it'll help give us a little bit of a direction, be able to narrow it down to this is the direction. Should help us figure out, you know, we've got the needs assessment, but now, you know, what type of facility do we really want to kind of narrow down and look at? You know, what are the needs inside of that facility? What are the costs going to be? What are the location? You know, just start to look at a lot of the different specifics and kind of narrow it down. So this is a really important step with our jail committee that the sheriff has put together and the board itself. So I think it's a really important step to take.
Any additions, Mr. Claybaugh?
I'm just excited to get this going, moving forward, you know, in a deliberate fashion now.
With that, I'll ask for a motion to approve the RFP.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Turn that back on for a second.
Mm-hmm. Your other left.
Got to hold my needle nose pliers just right. The gravity has to hold it. Up next, approve or disapprove recommendation on special designated liquor license for Red Barn Farm for St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Congregation's Wine, Ale, Spirit Tasting Fundraiser on April 25th. 2025. The Sheriff's Department is aware and does not oppose this. This is only a recommendation to the Liquor Commission.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Haxby.
She woke up.
Any discussion?
I got done writing what I needed to do.
Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
You had the end of type, at least.
Yeah.
Next item, discuss, approve, or disapprove giving City of Beatrice notice to begin discussion on emergency dispatch services. We are required to give 90-day notice prior to the end of a contract. I called Toby yesterday just to give him a heads up. This will be coming up on the agenda. We need to make a formal action if we want to do anything different on our next agreement. I told him this did not mean that we're looking to leave right away, but that we just are going through the motions. Last year, we were just inside of that 90-day window, and we had made a multi-year offer to them. The contract automatically renewed. This is just making sure we don't fall into an automatic renewal before we have the chance to discuss it. I'll ask for a motion in a second, and then we'll go into discussion on this item.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Discussion. Well, you get.
It's a great idea to have at least have some discussion, and I liked our offer we did last year. It was a longer term offer. It gave them stability and us, and it's beneficial for both ends of that.
We do provide a good service. This 911 service provides dispatch to our sheriff's deputies. Any item that goes out, they record everything. Any call for service, whether it's a notice to be put in a lawn or a violent situation, irregardless, that's all recorded through the sheriff's department. Our rural fires are dispatched through the 911. If there's a branch on the road, they call our highway department to come out. I mean, it's fairly central. They hire local folks here. It's an expensive ordeal to run a dispatch center. Mr. Lytle.
I suggest that we start with some informal conversation as opposed to stepping, you know, giving 90 days notice. You know, one of the things that can happen is you can ask for out of this contract, and rather than continuing on with a 2% increase every year rolling over annually, you can end up with a 4, 5, or 6% increase. So I'm not comfortable asking out of this currently without asking some questions. You know, some different questions. I think it's important that we know what are the ramifications if there's other users that leave this. You know, what are, you know, what if we get into a, if we ask to be in a longer term contract, what does that look like moving down the road 2 years when we're the only ones left at the city of Beatrice? Or, you know, if Crete remains in or and others additionally come in, what does that look like? I think I know most of those answers just from having been a part of it, but I don't feel comfortable backing out of a contract until I know what the, you know, you don't ask questions without knowing the answers. And right now we don't know the answers. So if we back out of this, it could be negative towards us as well.
And that's a really good point, too. We do have that auto renewal at a fixed rate right now. I guess I would ask you this, Counselor, on this in particular, if we give the city notice, can we give, this is worded, give city notice to begin discussion.
Right, and that's basically, this is a fairly typical contract. So, you know, for their stability and budget planning and stuff, if we're going to talk about prices or labor costs or whatever the case may be, or other people coming in, that's all this is saying. Normally, we'd like to avail ourselves of that opportunity. That doesn't mean anything's going to come of it. As far as it has to be decided by this group, here's what we'd like to propose as far as change, which may be nothing. So, I mean, I understand your concern that we're going to send the wrong signal. But I think, like Eric Dory, the chairman said, I've already kind of let them know, hey, this is a formality. We're just protecting our backside. And if you recall, we talked about this last year, had some ideas that never got up and really got to talk. So, I mean, that's the way I'd look at that. It's not anything like we're upset and we're looking to get out. Because if we were upset and ready to get out, we just give them notice that we're going to cancel. And that's what we're doing.
That's my fear, along with what Mr. Lytle said, though. This isn't saying that we are going to cancel.
No. And that's, I think that you got a good point. Make sure that's the message that's going to the city.
This is just, hey, we want to talk.
Yep.
This isn't, you know, we might roll the contract over still.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's, as long as we have that ability.
That's the conversation I had with Toby, too. I said, this is along with, and he goes, well, I remember you guys talking about that last year. Even after we were already rolled into another contract, he said, okay, do you want to open the contract and renegotiate? And since we had auto-renewed, we decided to just stay with that instead of...
I think that we had that offer that we had put in to give that longer thing, it didn't work because we didn't do this step.
The city was still open to talking to us about it, though, even though technically we were in a new one. They did not say this is it or nothing. They were open to still discussing it. We just decided, hey, we're already in another contract. Let's just stay with it. But they didn't say it's this or nothing. I mean, they never were forceful. They said, if you want to move forward with something different, we can. We just decided, let's wait till next year. I mean, they were good to work with the whole time.
But I think that's both sides understand it's good for both sides, and that's what makes it a mutually beneficial reason to keep working together. Because if we leave, they got a major league problem. If they quit doing this service, Gus is going to be real happy. He's going to have to set up a dispatch unit.
Right? I will say Mr. Templemeyer was very gracious and said he would gladly make us a fire sale on the dispatch center, and we could run it if we wanted. I declined on your behalf that we were not interested in it, nor did we want to get involved in it. So if any of you are very interested in that, I think that's a business that may be available. Additional discussion on giving notice that we'd like to discuss the contract.
Is that one we could swap one for one with the jail?
If they want
the jail, we'll take dispatch.
I would buy it on that one.
Right, Gus?
All kinds of things you could do.
Swap, I'd say.
I understand they're not unionized, though. Let's not leave that alone.
Don't even say that out loud. any additional discussion on giving city notice that we would like to enter into discussions on our 911 agreement? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. This was a discussion we had Monday again. Discuss and approve or disapprove ending or increasing our roadside shredding program. We completely canceled it years ago. We have since started shredding roadsides again. Just like we were talking with our bridge foreman who is doing our tree stuff, we need to give Mark direction. What are we going to do? What are we not going to do? We can't be wishy-washy on it. So whatever you guys would like to do, I'm not steering you one way or another. I just want a clear and concise answer for Mark that, no, we're not going to shred. Yes, we are going to shred. We're going to do more. We're going to cease doing it. We're going to do bridges.
And to be clear, the only reason we went back to doing some roadside shredding was improvement on the roads with that gravel reclaimer, getting that stuff pushed back. We can get that reclaimer back into the road, get that ditch, that double ditch cleared out, and for snow removal. That's been the only reason we've been doing roadside shredding.
I will make a motion to end roadside shredding.
Second.
Motion by Adams, second by Haxby. And I'll let either one of you visit on this.
We eliminated this years ago when we had mowing crews. And it came to light that we're mowing county roads only, but we want to charge or penalize those that have township roads that don't live on.
That's been a miscommunication. There's never been the intent to charge any township to do roadside shredding.
Well, I'm going to correct you that it was.
Never on my side.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying historically.
Okay, I'm sorry. But on my side, I wanted to help the townships do some of this.
I believe we follow the ordinances that we have in place. The roadside mowing, if we're short-staffed, as they are saying, and this is shredding, they're leaving them in dangerous conditions. I mean, it's a beaver field, basically, when you come out of it. You don't want to step in there. You don't want to walk in there. But if we're going to do every road, I'm in favor of it. But selective, just because it's a county road, I'm not. So,
what is your, Ms. Haxby, I'll let you take it first.
I just I pulled the state statutes on this. Says in Nebraska statute 39-1811, it shall be the duty of the landowner in this state to mow all weeds that can be mowed with the ordinary farm mower to the middle of all public roads, drainage ditches, and sometimes along their lands at least twice a year. And then the other part of that is 39-1812. Each landowner in this state upon whose land where is standing or growing any osage, orange, willow, or locust hedge trees, hedge fence, trees, or undergrowth bordering the public roads when such trees, blah, 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 shall keep the trim not less than once a year by cutting back within 4 feet of the ground, except trees which shall be trimmed from the ground up to 8 feet. The trimmings shall be burned or removed from the road right away within 10 days after each cutting. So by statute, it's the landowner's responsibility, and I don't think that taxpayers that are doing their job by abiding by the law should subsidize those that aren't.
My question would be for you, Mr. Adams, just for clarification. So if Mr. Kunkey's doing this where we're using the reclaimer just to get the undergrowth back so that he can grab gravel and bring it back on the road, what is your thought on that?
Well, if you need it to stabilize the base of the road, whatever, that's different than just going all around. You're using it in part of a project. So I just don't feel that we should go the countywide like we've been doing. I mean, the Ellis Road, the Holmesville Blacktop. And we all can say that we're not going to penalize anybody, but it ultimately always ends up that way that you've got to put, Roger's got to send teeth in your letters, correct? Yeah. Well, you go sending letters to somebody else that you're going to do this. You're penalizing regardless.
As for the roadside shredding, our crew's doing it. The intent on my side was never to charge the township, a landowner, anybody. My goal was to get our roads done, which for the most part we're fairly close, and it was due to last year's snow. More snow we get off the road, the better the road's going to be in the long run. And I had mentioned to a couple townships, once we got our areas done, we will start coming around to help them with some plum thickets, some lighter trees in the right away.
Have you ever had Roger send letters out on tree or weeds?
Roger sent them out? He is CC'd on every time that I've sent them out, yes.
Have you sent any out?
Basically, and just for background here, Mark has done a real good job as far as trying to handle this in a diplomatic fashion. Because as we all know, there's a lot of like absentee landowners.
Oh, yeah.
There's people who take pride. The bottom line is for everybody on this board is safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. And being careful not to encroach on other people's responsibility. And as Ms. Haxby points out, we've got a lot of good landowners that take pride and care. And I, you know, the ones that don't, I don't care if they don't like that statement. You know, they can give me a call. I don't answer them, but that's okay. But, I mean, that's what we're all concerned about. If it's one young person that because of some obstruction doesn't see another vehicle coming and we have an accident, then all the money we spend, all the efforts we have saved money isn't going to make a doggone bit of difference.
So in the same,
I think it's good to discuss it and give Mark the
In the same token on that, are we going to eliminate every cornfield on every corner? Because over time, that has been more of an accident causer than the trees.
Well, that's absolutely true. Every year in the fall, we got that. But there's no statutes telling me to cut down the cornfield.
Yeah. No, I know.
And I don't suspect they'll be around.
We have cut down corn, but, though, that's been out in the right-of-way.
Oh, and Mark,
in the right-of-way.
Let's talk about that. You know, if we got somebody that's pushing the line. And, again, that's usually a discussion item.
More of those.
Reminding them.
More of those landowners that do that farm, some of the right-of-way, are more in township roads than there are in county roads. A lot. It's very minimal in county
this
roads.
This isn't just
don't mow. What's the repercussion?
It's the same thing. We would send Rod out, have him, once he gets through the trees. The bad thing is he's not getting through anything, so they'll never get to the mowing. We should send him a letter. You're required to do it, and then you can actually have somebody hired to go do that and then send them a bill.
It says that the board shall file a statement with the county clerk together, the description of land abutting each side of the road where the expenses were incurred and the county board at the time of the annual tax levy made upon the lands and the property, giving such lander due notice of such proposed assessment, a reasonable opportunity to be heard concerning the proposed assessment.
So if they're not mowing it, basically, like we talked about bidding out trees, if we're actually going to ever start doing this, we would bid out shredding or something, probably similar folks, or maybe some of the farmers would say, we'll shred these. We would bid that out, I assume, send somebody out there to mow it. We have never done that I know of.
We had one down by east of Wymore, because we sent the bill out.
Not in my time frame.
It was right before you came on board, because she ended up getting represented by an attorney or a law firm, and we negotiated it. But again, she didn't realize it cost that much, otherwise she would have done it.
Mowing's going to be a difficult thing, because if they were to mow, the statute just says sometime before the end of July. So if they were to mow in May, and all of a sudden it grows up by the end of July, and we're going to take pictures, technically, they've mowed the one time before the end of July.
All they have to do is show that they did it.
But and keep in mind, you got several different statutes that we're working across.
Yeah. And they are all attached to our letter that we do send out.
Mr. Adams.
Okay, I want to, the umbrella of safety, we always throw that up. Safety should always supersede anything we have here. But we're talking of doing just a straight mile of plum bushes, whatever, maybe in the middle of the road. If it is a safety issue, we address it the same day that you have a concern of safety. If it is blocking somewhere, that is addressed. This is in a different vein of what we're talking. A plum bush a half mile down the road with nothing in between is different. Now I want to touch on when Emily talked about taxes being levied. Roger, you're the answer on this, because at that one point we could assess something to somebody's property. That does not mean we ever collected until they sold the property. That lien followed the property. So even though you can assess them against it, does not mean you'll get collected until the end.
I don't think it's a lien, though. I think this is a tax assessment, correct?
Well, it basically is similar, and that's the way the statute speaks to. But again, they have to follow a protocol. There's two different protocols we can file. Number one, I can file a criminal case, which if we're getting to that point, if you, again, it comes down to how mad do you really want me to make people?
That's right.
Yeah. But sometimes, and let's keep in mind, these are people that
Mark has talked to, usually one of the supervisors, the respective supervisor has met with them, their neighbors. You know, this isn't the first time they found out, oh, my gosh,
no,
I got a problem.
No, it's not.
So it's long down the road. And since I've been up here, we've looked at every different way of handling this in a diplomatic fashion, addressing the concerns. I think every year at the township meeting, this comes up. Mark's got the paperwork. Here it is, whether it's a township or it's a county road, and we follow it. Now, we've got a new person there, well, I say new, relatively new, that's following this up now, as I understand it. So I would tell you, I think we're still adjusting to that. In the last year since the last township meeting, I don't think I've had to send out one of those letters. And I could be wrong, but...
I haven't sent out a letter for a while.
So, and again, if I would suggest maybe we need to just take a look and see where, if we got a log jam someplace, let's take a look at that.
I agree.
Before we go addressing the problem, as Mr. Thiemann says, that we may create more of a problem by addressing the problem, just clarify it.
I guess what I was under the opinion of the committee meeting, the instructions on were how many letters to send out to people for
trees.
Addressing trees, not the elimination of this or that.
This is different. The tree letters, we kind of put a pause on this just until we can study a little more. This one would be for roadside shredding. That was kind of another discussion.
Mowing also, though.
Mowing the ditches of any sort, not the trees necessarily. It would be plum thickets, things like that as well. But this is a little, I thought this would be an easier issue than the trees, but there was people telling Mark they didn't want the ditches mowed. I assume that there's some opinion that we maybe wanted to continue mowing. I just thought we'd give him a direct answer that says, stop mowing, keep mowing. At least that way we're giving him a clear message instead of something gray.
And I like to keep my intersections clean, so I have a good 100-foot radius. Make sure everything's clean for sight-wise. I will continue that. That is, I think, a safety issue.
Safety.
As long as I'm under the understanding, if we're going to run that reclaimer or do any ditch work, road work, if we can still go in there and kind of clean up what we need to clean up for that reclaimer, I'm perfectly good with that. I mean, we can fit that into a schedule, but going out and when something breaks down as a secondary option to go shred a mile, 2 miles of roadside of plum thickets and trees and whatnot, then, yes, we will discontinue.
Part of this was, you know, too, we were using that as busy work because we didn't have enough for the guys to do. So, but then if we're short of help, why are we doing busy work?
Well, the guy doing it just sat here and said he can't do his regular job.
That's a whole different guy. He's not shredding anything.
Well, I know, but, I mean, that's an example of the trees. He just sat here and said, I cannot keep up doing the tree part and do my other duties.
That's why he's not doing much for trees, I think.
I know.
The devil's advocate side of this, too, though, if we were forcing the people to mow their ditches like they're supposed to, we wouldn't have to go out and shred them before we run the reclaimer because the thickets aren't there. So by allowing them to do it, you run a shredder down a
This
down
was a
quarter.
Topic 30 years ago, and it's going to be a topic 30 years from now.
I'm a true believer, lead by example. So if landowners are seeing us going out there cleaning up our structures, intersections, it's a good word, and people have been cleaning up.
The bad thing is you're playing with house money, and those folks are...
But the bridge structures are ours.
Taking care of it.
Bridge structures are ours. We got to do maintenance around the signs, the intersections, and like I said, if you want us to stop in 3/4 of a mile or 7/8 of a mile, I'm okay with that. Whatever you guys want. I mean,
the structures though, we have to take care of around our structures regardless.
You're talking bridge structures.
Bridge structures, box culverts, anything that we have to do maintenance on.
Right, but like when you talk about like to run the reclaimer or, you know, certain from an intersection, yes, it's a safety thing, but also it still goes back on the landowner. They should be clear anyway. Like you said, to run your reclaimer, you shouldn't have to go out and shred to run your reclaimer because it should already be done by statute.
Should.
The landowner's responsibility.
Yes, it should be done.
I don't think that taxpayers, especially those taxpayers that do take care of their right-of-way, should subsidize those that don't.
But that reclaimer does pull up quite a bit of material, saves quite a bit of money on getting gravel.
How deep in the ditch does it go? Then wait until the landowner cleans it.
It comes out about 4 foot off the backside, and, I mean, it does pull quite a bit of material if there's material in the ditch.
Gets rid of that other ditch.
It gets rid of that secondary, that double ditch where water's draining into the ditch where it needs to go.
I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but just on that backside, if people took care of their property like they're required to by law, we don't even need that shredder.
I do know if they take a backhoe and knock the limbs down, the wind blows them on the road now. And that's happened.
If they leave them in the right-of-way?
Yeah, they just leave them in the ditch. They just knock them
That's
down.
Still the right-of-way. I mean, you can't leave them in the ditch.
Well, they did. They got 10 days to clean them up.
Per state statute, shall be burned or removed from the road right-of-way within 10 days of each cutting.
Well, they don't do it.
Mr. Lytle.
So, Mark, you want to explain to everybody up here, you know, when you're talking about the reclaimer, what are the difficulties that you have if you don't shred that, if it's not shredded prior to the reclaimer running down there? What's the difficulties? What's the results?
If the grass is tall, plumb thickets are there, we can't get that, you know, plumb thickets, we can't get that reclaimer down in the middle of the ditch where it needs to go. If the grass is over 8 inches tall, it's and we run that reclaimer, it will ball up in the reclaimer and come to the road to where your windrow looks like it's 4 foot tall. And then moving that back, we had that issue out on West Scott last summer, and then that's where we came to the conclusion we needed a shred prior to the reclaimer going down. Shredding, not just chipping trees or cleaning plumb thickets into. So, but the goal was if the asphalt crew was broke down on something, this was a secondary option. They go out and shred. We kind of planned it. Here's where the reclaimer is going to go. So they'd go out a couple days prior or a week or prior, and then a couple days before that, we'd hit it with a shredder, and the reclaimer could just go.
So you would plan breakdowns according to where you were going to
render? I did plan breakdowns, Al. I was like, we're going to break this truck down this day.
That's not realistic to try to plan ahead for breakdowns. I mean,
ideally. We did. We're pretty good at it down at the highway department. We throw a monkey wrench wherever we can.
Well, we have a motion and a second to cease roadside shredding. So if we want to clarify that or change it, I mean, the way I would understand that is we'd still do structures, really corners even. That's not us. That'd be landowner. It would be only our stuff, which would be structures. Is that the intention
imminent
in your motion?
Imminent safety always supersedes everything. If it is a safety issue, it needs addressed.
I'm a good 100 foot back from every intersection where I'd like to see everything cleaned
up. Mr. Schuler would argue that it's a safety issue all the way along the roadways, though, because of deer and other woodland creatures that jump out in front of people. I'm not saying that's the way it is. I'm just throwing that out there.
Even that 100 foot should be done by them, too, but...
Cell phones are dangerous too.
No doubt.
So is beer.
No longer. I don't want to beat on this any longer, but I think your games and parks is supporting no shredding along the roadways because there's so limited habitat for so many things. You know, that's what I mean. You can throw both buckets. And that's what the point I'm trying to make. You can angle it any way you want. But if it is a safety issue, it needs addressed.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Is there any desire to change the motion or amend it at all? Or
you need it amended to? No,
we don't need it. After discussion, I didn't know if you want to amend that at all or if that's the true intention of the motion to stop roadside shredding.
Well, to me, roadside shredding is mowing. So, I mean, to approve this, to approve the roadside mowing, that means we're going to mow all the roads again. You can't just pick and choose. You cannot pick and choose which roads you designate to shred.
So you're saying all or nothing.
All or nothing.
We're doing all of them or we're doing nothing.
All or nothing.
Except,
that's the only point I've ever...
Except for around our structures.
Right. But we have such limited distance from each bridge, culvert, whatever it may be, And if it's a safety issue, it's always a safety issue.
There are 4,848 culverts in the county.
We need to clarify shredding, if you're considering grass shredding versus like plum thicket, because that...
Yeah, mowing to shredding trees, that's where I'm going to ask too. Mowing, I completely understand. We should be mowing.
Mowing and shredding trees.
We only did that when there were the claimers there.
Small item, too. Small item.
I blew it.
Can we alter it to end shredding and trees?
I thought instead of addressing the trees, like, this would be the easy clarification.
Okay. I guess I'm going to be against the trees regardless. If somebody, it can be voted down and it can be changed to however somebody else wants it. But before I ever left the township meeting that night, every township I had addressed me on this issue. They are all against it.
Against the county doing it. They want the landowner to do it.
Correct, because they've all been down this road already.
So trees and shredding.
Correct.
So the motion is to approve ending roadside shredding.
All or none.
Shredding and trees.
I guess I would consider shredding. The trees in the shredding.
He was saying it was separate.
Probably need to clarify, though.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, you can't. Just leave the trees out of this thing.
No, he was saying it's separate. He was saying shredding
statutory is separate.
Correct.
Yeah.
The shredding is a whole different thing, and I think that's what's, at least it's causing me some misunderstanding. That's more of helping get his reclamation, right, the shredding, as opposed to the trees, which the state has given us responsibility.
Who thought it'd be this complicated?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna say the motion, and you tell me if this is what you intended. Approve ending roadside shredding, which includes any type of cutting vegetation along the roadside.
By county forces.
That's the intent.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So any vegetation. We'll just say any vegetation. That'll hit everything.
Unless it's a safety issue.
Unless it's a safety issue. I just want clarification.
Is that how you understood the?
So what would make it clear?
Any vegetation. Okay.
Other than around county structures.
Okay. Are you good with that? Other than around county structures.
It shouldn't be so complicated.
I didn't think so. I should have spelled. All right. We have a motion to approve ending roadside cutting of any vegetation other than around our county structures.
So, actually, he's keeping the guys busy. So, with this motion, they can sit around the shop and not be busy.
We'll find something else for them.
They've got stuff to do.
They've got stuff to do because we always hear we're short of people, but we've got extra people. So, this is great. We just freed up some people.
So, we're going to say to end roadside shredding of any vegetation by county forces other than around
county structures.
Okay.
Perfect. That was easy.
Whew.
All right. Any other comment on this question?
Just
clarification.
Vegetation includes brushes and trees. And I don't have to be a botanist to understand that. So basically what you said is we're not going to do the law.
If it grows, it goes.
I'm just saying that.
Well,
bushes, the trees and stuff that we have an established protocol, you're kind of trumping your own protocol here.
With county forces, though.
Again, you got to walk it through with the landowner, follow the statute.
Correct.
And then eventually, he's going to have to send a crew out or hire somebody to go out and do it.
So, Roger, to clarify for you maybe, what we're calling shredding or cutting, we're not going out and cutting down trees. We're taking a mower on a skid loader and mowing. We call it shredding, but it's just a mower on a skid loader.
Yeah.
So that's all they're cutting.
It's a beefed up shredder.
Yeah, it's.
What he's saying though is that if we send this letter out, and then we get to the point where we have to remove it and assess it to their taxes.
County forces would never. I would never send county forces out to do it. We'd always
have it bid out.
We'd have it bid out.
So we would be.
It would eliminate that gray area.
Or do we
it's
add
expensive.
Per state
still
statute?
You think it's expensive having a contractor do it? Have the county do it, and it'll really be expensive.
Well, but that's the one we did get that, and I wish I could remember. It was landowner that was not from around here, but she had an attorney from around here. And we ended up, the township actually was negotiating with them, and the township ended up paying for part of that.
Roadside shredding is terrible. I don't want to do it.
I remember that. And it wasn't like they couldn't afford it.
Tens of thousands of miles.
That's really upsetting.
Was that just east of Blue Springs, Wymore?
Just east of Wymore.
On the B line?
That's easy. That's easy shredding compared to counties.
Ann Wather?
Huh?
Ann Wather?
And Mr. Jurgensturm, we've got a motion and a second by Mr. Adams and Ms. Haxby with clarification. Does everyone understand the motion?
I don't know.
Can you explain it to me?
The motion would be to end roadside shredding of any vegetation of any sort other than around our structures. If it's a safety concern, it better be explainable while we're doing it then.
By county forces.
By county forces. Anything that needs to be shredded will be handed off to the
state statute.
State statute, which is being taken care of by Rod, or will start to become taken care of by Rod. Last chance. Please vote. 5 in favor, with Dorn voting nay. Motion carries. Okay, this one will be easier. Mr. Kunke, if you'd stay up here.
Not moving.
Approve or disapprove removing C-34126 to Claytonia Box Culvert from the contract with Vokescapes as discussed with them originally when they...
What was the job number again?
C-34-1262.
Okay.
Removing that from the contract with Vokescapes. This was discussed the day of bid letting. Reason for removing that would be if this road is straightened, eventually we'll need a longer box. This box could also be replaced with a CMP instead of a box culvert, which county forces could actually do as well. That potentially could take the road from a 35-mile-an-hour curve to a continuous 55 miles an hour in the future if we have some type of outside funding for that bridge structure. Without that, I don't see that bridge structure being replaced anytime in the immediate future.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Claybaugh. Any questions, comments, or discussion?
Just a question on the, we had, this was included in that May 1 timeline, and each structure has a working date. We already extended once. Would this shorten that working timeline?
I mean, my knee jerk would be no. We've given them a day to have everything done, but this is a structure. Is there a timeline per structure in the contract?
Was it 45-day timeline per structure?
If the wording says per structure, it would shorten it by 45 days.
But I just asked this at committee meeting of possibly extending it due to Windstream dragging their feet.
Windstream dragged their feet about what, 2 weeks?
It's been 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
And you reduce it by 45 days, that's already passed.
But if we added 4 weeks, 4 times 7 is 28 days, so we could extend it by 1 month. But you have to then remove the 45 days for the structure we removed?
But that's however you guys want to look at it.
If it says 45 days per structure, I would say we take from whatever our extension day was it May 15th?
May 1st, I think.
May 1st, subject 45 days
it was
off
sometime
of
in
it.
May. That's I do remember that.
45 days off of that.
We're already past that.
How many structures do they have yet? They're not going to make it. They're going to be fined. We've already extended it 6 months.
But it should be that one less structure for the timeline for those fines, though. Because
I mean,
if you subtract that off, that date's already passed.
I hate saying that, Gary, but we already extended it 6 months for them. And there was no reason to extend it 6 months other than they overbid work and couldn't get stuff done.
I'm just saying. If it's May 1 and you subtract 45 days, we've already passed that.
Mr. Kunke, I would say yes, we subtract 45 days off for that structure if that's the way the contract is worded. We can address an individual piece of that, such as Windstream. But it doesn't look like they're performing at all, unfortunately. I was hoping that when we gave them a 6-month extension, they would.
I know I had wagers on with a landowner that they'd be done by May 1st, and I called him yesterday and pretty much told him that I'd have to pay up on my wager with him.
Gambling's illegal, so we didn't hear that.
You're only 35 miles away, it's legal.
We have a motion by Haxby, second by Claybaugh, to approve removing C-34-1262. Along with that, with each of your blessing, we'll decrease the contract time by 45 days.
So if the county does it with that, what do you call it, CMP or something, how much savings would that be?
Oh, that would be in the future, but it would be tens of thousands of dollars.
More. Yeah. I was thinking, 'cause the box was 300,000 maybe?
And putting the tube in, we'd probably have under 100?
The tube, we'd have well under 100.
With installation
with even,
and everything?
With even labor figured in.
And a longer tube. So instead of tens, a couple $100,000 plus. But that would be a scenario we can address at that time. Are you guys both good with decreasing that timeline by 45 days, if that's the wording of the contract?
We can address the 4 weeks of the Windstream. I mean, that's reasonable. I understand that was not there. That was outside of their control. We can add the...
Was that... It's kind of a different discussion, but that the Windstream delay, was that on every site that they have right now that they could be working on?
Just one.
Two sites right now.
One with, they're anticipating a second one, right? That's the one that Windstream just put the permit in for?
That's 1240. 1238 and 1239 are roughly 700 feet apart. The same line runs through there. That's when the splice comes in. They're going to run it clear on the east side, splice on the east side of 1238, clear to the west side of 1239. So that will clear both those structures.
Do they have both of those started?
No, because they started the one, they want to start on 1239, but with Windstream delayed, what they want to do is finish excavating on 1238, get down to sub-elevation for concrete, move over to 1239, and start excavating on that one.
So it's just 4 weeks.
Out of curiosity, where is that box culvert crew right now?
Where is it? I couldn't tell you.
The roads.
I bet I can guess. All right. Motion and second. Any additional discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Ms. Haxby had a birthday on Tuesday of the 11th. Happy birthday late. Mr. Dorn has a birthday on the 24th. Happy birthday early.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good of the order, Mr. Dorn?
How's the culverts on Christ Lutheran coming? You sat down too soon.
You didn't ask your question soon enough. The triple 120s are installed. Road is open. It is chat rocked at the time being. Monday we will close the road again and start on the structure just south of those larger ones at East 25 Island. We're anticipating a 5-day turnaround, so it should be done by the end of next week. They're smaller, so we should be able to handle those without getting a crane, so on and so forth. So by next Friday, that road should be back open.
Just a note for that, with the MISO process, and we have the RFQ out for an engineer for that too. With the NEPA, we had selected FHU based on NDOT's recommendation, and there was a question on whether or not we had to go through an RFQ for that. I got clarification from NDOT because FHU, Karen Richardson, for the NEPA process is on their on-call list. We're okay. We first selecting her for getting reimbursement for that. So we're good to keep moving forward.
And the RFQ is just allowing us to select engineers that are not on that on-call list.
Yes, I believe so. Yep. So that's where we're at with that process.
Any other questions or comments before we wrap this up? If not, we will adjourn at 10:22.